Boris Johnson is the very popular and internationally known mayor of London. On the 50th anniversary of Winston Churchill's death, Johnson celebrates the singular brilliance of one of the most important leaders of the 20th century. The new book is The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mayor Johnson to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you very much. What brought you to wanting to take a look at the life of Winston Churchill and his accomplishments?
Well, he's always been a hero of mine, but basically the Churchill family, the Churchill estate, wanted a new book to coincide with the 50th anniversary of his death, because they felt that he's being slightly forgotten. And they did a survey of kids in London, and a lot of them thought, I think most of them thought, that Churchill was a dog in an insurance company advertisement. There's an insurance company called Churchill, and people got sort of confused. And that sort of struck me as being a terrible shame. I think he's one of the greatest politicians who ever lived, and I think people have forgotten the range, the scale of his accomplishments. And I wanted to get that over again to a new audience. And I'm happy to say the it seems to have come off okay. The Churchill family are very pleased, and the book's doing pretty well in the UK. I think also it's worth understanding the meaning of Churchill today. What all the stuff he did, the making the Middle East, his role in the foundation of Israel, his role in the Cold War, all that kind of stuff. What Churchill would do with some of the threats and challenges that face us today. All that's worth thinking about. I think even for a new generation that can barely remember him.
In reading the book, I was really fascinated by the parts in which you talk about his open-mindedness, of what an asset that was.
Yes, he was a guy who ranged over all the possibilities of any situation in a completely sort of free and rational way. So, the end of the war, as historians have only recently discovered this incredible thing, that he had this plan called Operation Unthinkable. I don't know whether you got to that bit. Operation Unthinkable, which
yes.
was to re-equip the defeated German soldiers with their own weapons and get them to turn them on the Soviet communists. And obviously it was a sort of bonkers idea. We'd just been fighting with the Russians to defeat the Germans, and right towards the end he can see that the next big threat is Soviet communism, and he thinks that if you can denazify the Germans, you should try and obviously it was an idea. It was never going to take off, but it's a tribute to Churchill's fertility of imagination that he could even think about it. And throughout his life, he's constantly ranging over ideas, technological developments. He thinks about the atom bomb very early on. He thinks about flight, aviation. He loves the idea of getting up in planes. He almost kills himself several times in aircraft that are of incredibly primitive design, which the aircraft had only been invented 10 years previously. And you've got Winston Churchill at the controls of these crazy kind of contraptions of rope and canvas and so on. But he's inventive. He's constantly open to new ideas, as you say. And I think that was part of his genius. I mean, the main reason for his success was that once he had an idea and he wanted to pursue it, he pursued it with unrelenting vigor.
And you talk about his childhood, and a lot of that open-mindedness perhaps comes from a somewhat bohemian household that he was born in, an American-born mother.
That's right, and something of a goer. I mean, a real firecracker she was. Jenny Jerome, panther-like beauty she was described as possessing, with a dragon tattooed on her ankle, I think it was, or possibly a snake. And she was a quite remarkable woman. And I think she had a sort of there was a tolerance in his upbringing. I think you're right to focus on that sort of bohemian aspect of things. He was not remotely censorious or judgmental about people's private lives, Winston Churchill. He wasn't interested in that kind of stuff. That wasn't his type of politics. He was interested in that he wanted to improve the condition of the people. He wanted to help poorer people to do better in their lives. But he believed in the in Britain, and I'm afraid he believed in the greatness of the British Empire. And so, in a way, at the end of his career, he had to be reconciled to disappointment on that score anyway.
He did battle depression. It was something that he battled throughout much of his life.
Yes. Yes, I sort of wonder sometimes whether that's a little bit overdone. I think he definitely went down in the dumps, and he had what was called black dog. But that was a phrase that was used quite commonly at the time. It wasn't something that he invented specifically for himself. I think other people did suffer from. I mean, other people used the phrase. I think he had the classic cycle of the creative person, which is, you know, they produce something, then they feel a sense of elation, then they slowly get down in the dumps and they feel gloomy and they can't and then they work very hard and produce and then feel a sense of elation again. And I think that was how his psyche worked. I think that was the flywheel that drove him on. He was desperate to prove himself. He felt the ghost of his father very much dancing before him or chivying him on, or however you want to put it. That was the monkey on his back, I think. It was the sense that he'd been a disappointment to his father and the need to prove himself.
What do you think there is about the legacy? Because it seems that here is a man who has come through history, and you touched on this a little bit, but still revered and widely thought of in a very glowing light of his accomplishments.
Yes, I think his accomplishments are extraordinary. And I think his legacy is imperishable, in the sense that if it had not been for him, I genuinely think that Britain would have folded in 1940. And that would have been the biggest disaster imaginable. Because then, you know, what would have happened? Hitler would have had a much better chance of defeating Stalin. There would have been a terrible Nazi tyranny in the whole of Europe. And thank goodness he held on. But I think his other, you know, his important political legacies could be seen across the world. I think the things he stood for, the idea of what he thought of as the values of the English-speaking world, democracy, freedom of speech, all that kind of stuff, those are still cherished today, particularly in America, and also, of course, in Britain and most of Western Europe. But they're not uncontroversial. In other words, they're not accepted everywhere, not accepted in Russia or the Middle East or, you know, China. So, you know, these things are still worth campaigning for, worth taking seriously.
And what I found fascinating, and you bring out this point a few times in the book, actually, as we look, and you touched on this earlier, as we look to today's problems and how to solve them and what we are up against, we often find ourselves going to Churchill for advice and answers.
We do. We do. And sometimes we've got to be honest and say, the oracle is dumb. We can't. There's no answer. You know, the poor guy, you know, he on issues like what would we do in Syria or Iraq, well, you know, he says different things at different times. And I think myself that he would have been very wary of Britain or America making boots on the ground commitments to Syria, for instance, or going back into Iraq. Remember what he says about Iraq himself in 1922, when he says he hates Iraq. He wishes we'd never gone there. And he says it's like living on an ungrateful volcano, which is a brilliant idea, and I think perfectly expresses probably the feelings of many people in Britain and America, you know, if we think back at the what's happened there since we went in 2003. But he can't be treated as a biblical text to give guidance on all future action. But what he certainly, the big lessons he has for us are: stick with the Western alliance, keep always stick with it, try and maintain strong links between Britain, Europe, and America, and stick up for those values. I think that's the big lesson, and then never give in.
And of course, looking at this from an American perspective, that we too look at him at certainly positioning this country to enter into World War II of what a large role he plays in our history.
That's absolutely right. And of course, FDR is huge in our lives too,
right,
in Britain. And if it hadn't been for Franklin D. Roosevelt, things would have been very different. But it was the pair of them. I think if Churchill hadn't been there, you know, filling up the White House with his bouncy castle personality in those for 3 weeks and lobbying Roosevelt, he said no man ever studied the whims of his mistress as closely as I studied Franklin D. Roosevelt. You know, writing these long, seductive letters and Churchill himself played a great role in helping Roosevelt to get the American people ready to commit to another war, because, you know, there was not much enthusiasm for that idea in America in 1940. People could remember the First World War. 56,000 American soldiers died. Why should they get involved again?
Boris Johnson is the mayor of London. He is also the author of the new book, The Churchill Factor: How One Man Made History. It is published by Riverhead Books. Mayor Johnson, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You. All bet. Thank you.
Again, the title of the book, The Churchill Factor: How One Man Made History. It's published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.